The journey of life is littered with benchmarks and milestones. Without giving it too much thought, I'm sure you can recall a few of these life markers, such as your first love, your first job, living on your own for the very first time, or perhaps a different route concerning marriage or kids and so on and so forth. The gospel reading for this morning pulls my mind towards one of these foundational benchmarkers. If you didn't know, my wife and I have three children, and two of them have crossed the Rubicon known as potty training. I don't know what your potty training experience was as a child, or the process that you might have employed as a parent. But for Kirsten and I, we used the sticker system. If the child did as they were told and successfully went to the bathroom, they were rewarded with a sticker of their choice, and it was placed upon their sticker board, which hung proudly in the bathroom. So at any time, they could return to the place of their great success and reflect upon the good work which they had done. What may seem like a silly, harmless thing, this system of reward, this assurance that if you do what you are supposed to, then you'll be recognized for it and given a token to memorialize that moment, that achievement. But it appears that over time, that it tends to have a negative impact upon the ways in which we view the world and our life's purpose. Perhaps it is something in our brokenness that leaves us yearning for recognition, recognition of the fact that we aren't as broken as we think. That we somehow expect to be praised for the things in which we do, or more so, that we achieve our value through these accomplished tasks. It appears that we need to be successful even in the things that we are not. And if you don't believe me, why do you think we have so many participation trophies? It seems so for the disciples before us. For in the verse prior to our pericope for today, the 12 are informed of how much they are to forgive those who trespass against them. In that time period, the rabbis would have taught that anyone forgiving someone three times was close to a perfect person. But what Jesus is commanding is that one forgive someone seven times. In response to this, the disciples cry out, "Increase our faith," for they fear that they do not possess the ability to do as Jesus asked them. Do you ever find yourself praying that? That if only we had more faith, if only we could pray more effectively, if only God would help us be more spiritual, that we would be better followers, better disciples, better Christians. That would be the pitfall, my friends. The pitfall that faith is a thing to be successful at. That faith is something that can be measured or quantified. In his retort to the 12, Jesus doesn't grant their wish. Instead, he responds in such a way that he appears to point to the notion that they don't need an increase in anything, that they already possess all the faith necessary to be his followers, that they already possess the ability to do the things that he commands of them. I feel this is the case because Jesus then enters into this demi-parable about the slave-master relationship. And he highlights for them that you do not get a sticker for doing what you are supposed to do. You do not get a notch on the belt of merit for doing as the Master commanded. The scandalon, or the scandal of the gospel, is to think that just because we follow Jesus, or just because we have been baptized, that even though we will encounter some kind of hardship in this world, whether it be physical, financial, or both, that we are entitled to expect some kind of moral or spiritual success as Christians. Or worse, that moral or spiritual success are the very goals of Christianity. Let me be frank. God is not indebted to us. When we do the things that Christians are called to do, we don't get paid back for being good little children of God. Our actions, even our most pure and gracious, they do not obligate God. This is not a metered system. Our serving God through worship and love of neighbor do nothing to gain us favor in God's eyes. This covenantal relationship we have with God does not revolve around some kind of achievement capital. God's forgiveness and love is not merit-based. Let us not hear in this, though, that we are worthless and ought to be in a state of constant self-deprecation. But let it be understood that we must not turn faith into a work, that we do not gain value in God's eyes by being decent, caring human beings. Our value is not obtained through our actions or our deeds, but simply because God wills it. Let me put it another way. When we worship the triune God, and we should, we have done nothing more than what God asks of us. When we love our neighbor as God intended, and we should, we have done nothing more than what God asks of us. And when we forgive those who trespass against us, and we certainly should, we have done nothing more than what God asks of us. As the theologian Robert Capon once put it, you've only got one job to do, and that's to drop dead. Yes. Drop dead. So drop dead, my friends. Drop dead to the old Adam. Drop dead to the things in life that draw us from God. Drop dead to the idea of a merit-based system of righteousness. Drop dead to the idea of faith as a work. Just drop dead. And be resurrected. Be lifted up and live more fully in your life in Christ. A life that holds to the promises of God. A life where Christ turns us from this obsession with winning and success, this obsession with this system of reward and merit. A life where Christ reminds us that we have been given all the faith necessary for discipleship. A life where stickers are still nice to get, but that it is through God alone whom we have our worth and gain our salvation. Amen.